Good morning. Welcome to The Extra on KRDO News Radio Show that connects you with the topics and issues and people that are important to you. Very important person here today. He's bringing all the knowledge. Dermatologist Dr. Jeffrey Lim from Optum. Dermatology is here. Hello, doctor.
Hi, Renee. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for coming in. Some exciting things happening in your office.
Absolutely.
That we're going to talk about. But just so everybody knows, and we have more on this on our podcast, just to really touch on really quick, Doc. My father was a veterinarian. Call him Doc. My dog is named Doc. So if I call you Doc, you can just stare at me and go, sure. Renee, don't do that. Dr. Lim. DaVita was recently purchased by Optum, and everybody is transitioning, including your office, which is located at?
At Medical Center Point. It's actually at the intersection of Fillmore and Union.
And this is a very exciting transition.
It is. It's exciting in more ways than one, mainly because all of my colleagues there have endured not only the name change, but also a facelift from the inside in our infrastructure at that office building. So we've added Mohs micrographic surgery.
Which is what we're going to talk today.
Yes. So, Mohs micrographic surgery is a relatively new technique developed back in the 1930s. And it's actually called Mohs because it's named after its inventor, Dr. Frederick E. Mohs, who invented the technique in Wisconsin. And he was a general surgeon, but it's been refined since that time to become what it is today. And it's used to treat skin cancer, historically non-melanoma skin cancer, basal cells and squamous cells. And I'm sure for those who are listening, there's at least a few of us Coloradoans out there who have experienced basal and squamous cell carcinoma. But it's since evolved, and that's an exciting time for not only Mohs surgery, but the field of dermatology to expand on other types of skin cancers that are just beyond non-melanoma.
Wow, that's exciting. Yes. And so just so everybody understands, doctor, really quick, let's kind of explain the different types of, and again, we're in Colorado. We were talking before we came on the air, like the altitude we're at, the sun, you know, you want to use sunscreen, everything like that to protect yourself. But again, we're in Colorado, the altitude.
Colorado's unique. You know, I'm from Western Pennsylvania, and, you know, there's plenty of skin cancer, but I haven't quite seen the epidemic that is skin cancer at its full effect since being in Colorado. And what I mean by that is, you know, we have higher altitude. Mm-hmm. In fact, as you go 3,000 feet higher in elevation, you add a 10% intensity from the UV radiation from the sun. And also, interestingly, a lot of people mistake the idea that skin cancer is only really at your highest risk for skin cancer in the summertime when the sun is out. And of course, we have some of the most, you know, sunny days out of any state in the country. But even in wintertime, clouds or no clouds, there's plenty of sun that reflects off the snow and off the ice, and that can actually magnify its intensity.
And I think that's, and we were kind of talking about that before we came on the air, if you are a slope person or you're skiing, you're snowboarding, you don't really think about it.
Right.
But yeah, it's just, it doesn't matter if it's cloudy or not.
Right.
You're just getting all that sun.
Absolutely.
Reflection.
Absolutely.
So you have seen a tremendous kind of increase.
Yes, there is.
In diagnoses.
And that's true. And statistically speaking, Colorado has the highest rate of skin cancer per capita. So it's especially important for us. And that's why we're very excited at Optum to be able to offer this service.
So let's define for everybody so they understand the different, you kind of mentioned it, but so folks understand and kind of give a quick overview before we get actually into the Mohs and how this really can benefit patients.
Right.
Define the different types of the main different types of skin cancer. That you see and how folks can, you know, because I could sit here and look and go, look at that. You see what I'm saying? Everybody
absolutely.
Can. Is that skin cancer? You know, so everybody understands the difference.
Yeah, no problem. So, you know, the most common skin cancers, the garden variety of skin cancer, is what was formerly termed non-melanoma skin cancer. Mm-hmm. And that really included basal cell carcinoma, which is the most common type of skin cancer, but also squamous cell carcinoma. Basal cell carcinoma really doesn't tend to spread throughout the body, or metastasize is the word that we use in medicine. Squamous cell carcinoma, some that are deemed high risk, within 2% of cases can break off and can become deadly. So, but rarely those tumors cause us a problem. They're more of a nuisance, and we can easily remove them. Other types of skin cancers that we treat include melanoma, and that's actually the fifth leading cause of death from all types of cancers. It's increasing in our, you know, in terms of its incidence every year. But fortunately, in the 21st century, our management has improved such that the incidence of death is decreasing. So those are...
Because understanding it better, being able to remove it better.
Absolutely.
Treating it better.
And much of that related to what we do in Mohs surgery and in dermatology.
That's perfect. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take a break now because when we come back, we're going to have Dr. Lim kind of define Mohs, what makes it special. And then, you know, if people have a concern, how they need to reach out, make an appointment, all that fun stuff. So we're going to have more with dermatologist Dr. Jeffrey Lim next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Good morning. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio from Optum. We are talking with dermatologist Dr. Jeffrey Lim. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning.
So let's talk about, we kind of defined like the different types of skin cancer that we see the most common.
Sure.
So kind of give an indication for folks so they kind of understand. You know, because I'm looking, I'm going, oh, well, there's a, you know, a little, is that a mole? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, give a hint so folks can kind of understand, like you said, being in Colorado, there is a much higher rate of diagnoses
of
in skin cancer because we're, you know, hanging out with the sun. But so what are some things that folks can watch out for?
You know, we always kind of look for a few key things, and I want to put it out there. It's always good to find your friendly neighborhood dermatologist so that it takes the responsibility and worry off of you and puts that on them. But, you know, specifically with skin cancer, it's not always that clear. And I think because of that, that's why the field of dermatology was born in some regards.
Right.
But certainly things that are rough and gritty, they feel like sandpaper, sometimes they're better felt than seen. And also, if they bleed or they itch, those types of symptoms can be clues. They're not necessarily a red flag, but they may be a cautionary flag. Specifically with moles, you know, many of us, you know, at least have a few moles in our body. Some of us have hundreds of moles in our body.
Yeah.
And in dermatology, we have an acronym. It's the alphabet soup, A, B, C, D, E, of managing atypical moles and detecting melanoma. And that stands for A, asymmetry, B, for border irregularity, or if the borders are notched or if they start to run into the normal surrounding skin.
Okay.
Color variation. So, you know, sometimes shades of brown can be alarming, but sometimes certainly if they're not brown, like if they lose pigment altogether, if they're white, if they're deeply pigmented, like black or blue.
Okay.
Or if they're pink or something like that. So color is important. Diameter, D for diameter, is usually over 6 millimeters, and not everybody understands those types of metrics here in the U.S., so if you can cover it with a pencil eraser, that tends to help because that's about 6 millimeters.
Okay, perfect.
And then really the golden rule, E, if you're going to remember one thing out of this whole alphabet, you know, jargon here, is E for evolving or anything changing.
It's if it's changing and you're,
right. And so I tell my patients that I can guarantee that if you don't look, you won't see. And so the only way you really know if it's changing is if you take an inventory at least once a month and look at your skin.
Wow. Okay. That's good. So remember A, B, C, D, E. And
that's
I'm sure you guys have on your website some tips for folks, you know, so they can go, because we covered a lot of info right there, but so they can go to your website, I'm sure, right?
Absolutely, yeah. We have information there, and we also, there's more information at the American Academy of Dermatology, the AAD.org.
AAD.org. So let's talk about, and it was very interesting, because the Mohs, like we are talking about, and we're going to talk more specifically about how the Mohs surgery goes in a little bit, but I want to talk about treating from then to now. Does that make sense? Because
yes.
We were talking before we came in, there's only, 1,500 plus fellowship trained dermatologists in this Mohs surgery.
That's correct.
And so let's talk about how it was kind of treated before skin cancer, because really you can't see under the skin, really.
Absolutely,
you?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, here's a general area, let's hope we get it.
Right.
Is that kind of...
Right. Most, you know, dermatologists, first and foremost, are specifically trained in looking at key features of things that shouldn't be there on the skin.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, before Mohs surgery came around, basically we were able to identify clinically, without any additional tests, that, yes, that looks like a skin cancer. Maybe we should do something about it. And the way we would do it, there's actually many acceptable, even today, first pass treatments for skin cancer that don't include Mohs surgery. And that being destructive techniques like, you know, scraping the skin, you know, of course, after it's nice and numb, but also, you know, doing things like an excision where you look at the skin, you assess where the ends of the skin cancer are, and then you take kind of a what I call a fudge factor of normal skin around that area, and you remove
you actually cut it out in case there's cells that have
Right. And so those margins were developed. We call them margins, meaning, you know, the distance of normal skin around what we suspect to be skin cancer. We remove those margins as sort of a fail safe, if you will, to really increase the odds that we got everything out.
Mm, interesting. And of course, this is with any type of cancer, but I would imagine like the Mohs, and as I said, we'll get into more details about Mohs and how it's truly beneficial and how the whole process works. But I would imagine possibly... there's a lot of, but this can happen with any type of cancer, could maybe see some reoccurrences, right? Because since you're working with margins, like, okay, I think I've got it.
Right.
And we'll talk again more about the Mohs, but the Mohs will help you better identify, doesn't it?
Absolutely. You know, and that's such a key point, Renee, because that's essentially why the Mohs field was born, is because we were sick of just dealing with recurrences and seeing these poor patients that are otherwise, you know, should be easy to treat. And then, you know, a few months, few years down the road, the cancer comes back and it comes back potentially more aggressively.
Exactly.
And so we wanted to find some sort of way to be able to clear this and once and for all. And not only is that, you know, less burdensome for the patients, but it's also more cost effective if we can just do it once. And so, you know, I think that's the essence of the Mohs surgery, is that, you know, we're trying to limit the recurrences that we have that can range anywhere without Mohs between 5% and 50%.
Wow.
So, you know, for some techniques, it's a shot in the dark, and we wanted to limit that.
So, again, explain to everybody, again, how long has Mohs been around? And it's so funny, as you mentioned before, and it was not developed by a dermatologist, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So how long exactly has this Mohs technology, the Mohs surgery, micrographic surgery, how long has this process been around?
Yeah, you know, it's when you compare it to other surgical procedures, it's really in its infancy, even though it has been around. Like I said, the first case was by Dr. Frederick Mohs in 1936.
Correct. Yeah.
And at that time, it wasn't called Mohs surgery. Dr. Mohs was a very humble, very kind of quiet spoken guy. And he said, you know, it was called chemo surgery.
Chemo, and like...
Using chemicals.
Okay.
To basically, once you remove the tumor, embed that specimen in a specific paste. And then once that hardens, you can kind of cut off sections and put that on a microscope slide to look under the microscope. So that's how it started. And then in 1967 was really when the American College of Mohs Surgery and Fellowship was born.
That's amazing.
And it's been since refined so that instead of using a paste, we actually, once the skin is removed, we actually freeze it down into an ice block. We put that skin into an ice block. And then we take that ice cube, if you will, and we shave off little shavings of ice and put that onto a microscope slide that contain the skin cells to be looked at.
And then from there, that's when you can say, we've got it.
Exactly.
We've got all the cells.
Exactly.
Or we need to possibly.
Right.
Okay. So what we're going to do is, because this is completely fascinating, I want to get into more details. We're going to have more with Dr. Jeffrey Lim. He's dermatologist for Optum. After we take a quick news break, that's coming up next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Today we're talking with dermatologist Dr. Jeffrey Lim from Optum. And Optum, and Dr. Lim, you are Mohs micrographic surgery. And it's new for Optum, isn't it?
It's very new, yeah.
And it's an amazing procedure. And I was kind of, during the news break, I was kind of like, sorry, doc, like grilling you, like exactly explain. But I want everybody to understand how amazing this is.
Yes.
Because, again, like before, you would kind of, in a diagnosis, you would kind of look and go, okay, we have skin cancer. I'm going to put a margin. I'm going to kind of take this much and hope that I got everything. Right?
Right, absolutely.
But the Mohs absolutely changes all of this. It really helps decrease the amount of possible You know the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
It coming back
removed.
Again.
Absolutely. Yeah, and recurrence. Right. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly right. And I think the easiest way to explain it for those listening and, you know, for the patients that I see on a daily basis is we just simply change the order of operations, meaning when we remove it, if stitches are invoked, we repair it with stitches at the same time. And then most of the time we just send that tissue out to a lab and they process it. And they have their own microscope, but it takes weeks to do that.
Right, to get
to get the final answer about whether or not it's out. And even when they look at that under their microscope, if you can imagine a bread loaf and sectioning a bread loaf through just different, you know, individual slices, they're looking at representative pieces of that skin that was removed.
Okay.
And I'm going to put you on the spot here, Renee, and ask you, what percent of the skin do you think they're actually looking at when they do that?
Oh.
Just throw me a number.
I would say small.
Right.
Am I right?
Very small. You're absolutely correct.
Was that
correct.
Vague?
Were you a
enough?
Dermatologist in a previous life?
I could have potentially been. But I'm sure it's a small portion.
It's less than 1/10 of 1%.
One tenth.
So they're looking at a representative sampling of what was removed. So when going back to the order of operations, what we do is we remove it. But then we test it and we look at 100% of those cells under the microscope using this Mohs technique. And that's why it's so important to understand the difference before we go back and we put those stitches in, knowing that you're free of cancer.
And that's what's amazing about this whole thing. And I guess I'm just like, this is so fascinating because obviously the patient's going to come in. Like you said, this could take all day. And basically, like you're saying, it's kind of like a circle. Do you start with the area that you know that there's cancer, and then you just start working your way out, right? And basically taking those samples, and it's kind of, again, this process of going and going.
Right.
It sometimes I'm sure it's pretty quick. Other times, possibly not, right?
Absolutely.
But having that information really helps the patient.
It does. It's important because, you know, we generally ask our patients to commit a day with us. It's a day date with me and our team over at Optum. But basically, we remove it, and usually it takes about 90 minutes-ish to get an answer. Because we do 2 weeks of labor within 90 minutes.
That's amazing.
And so it sped up the process dramatically, even though it does require the patient to wait while we get that answer. So to just briefly overview the process.
Yes, please do.
We first and foremost make sure everybody understands what's going to happen.
Exactly, the process.
Right.
That's why I kept asking you all these questions. Like, I need to understand this process.
And we want to make them nice and numb because, you know, we don't like them to be uncomfortable when they're under the knife. We take that tissue to the lab. We make that ice block. We then slice that ice block into sections and prepare our microscope slide. We stain that tissue. And then I look at it under the microscope. And this is all correlated. For instance, we talked about in the news break, if you took, like, I explain it as a piece of a pie. If you remove a piece of the pie and you strip the pie of its crust, we're looking at that crust under the microscope. We're looking at all the sides, and we're looking at the deep part where it meets the pan. So I'm looking at 100% of those cells. And if you can imagine a clock face, if I see cancer, say, at 3 o'clock, and everywhere in between and around is negative for skin cancer, meaning there's no evidence for it, but there's a slight small area that's still involved, all I have to do is go back in accordance with the map that I make and remove just that little area at 3 o'clock.
Where you had that 3, okay.
Exactly. So you know, the average number of attempts for Mohs surgery nationwide is about 1.7. So it tends towards 2 attempts. And I can't tell you how many times a day I hear patients say, well, let's get it all on one. Well, that's really not the essence of Mohs surgery. The essence of Mohs surgery is not only complete cure by looking at 100% of the skin cells, but number two, it's tissue conservation. We want to save the skin, especially in cosmetically and functionally important areas like nose, eyelids, ears, lips, fingers, toes, that sort of thing. And so that's where Mohs surgery got its start, was cosmetically and functionally important areas where you cannot take that extra skin.
The margins are just...
Exactly.
It's just not...
Exactly.
Wow, that's amazing. And so I just want to... processing everything. You're mapping everything, or the Mohs is mapping it, or both? When you found something at the 3 o'clock.
Right.
So...
I think one of the reasons why I was drawn to this field is because it allows me to be the dermatologist, the surgeon, the person who maps
everything
it, and the pathologist looking in the microscope all in one. So that's why Mohs surgery fellowships started for Mohs surgery, because it is such a highly specialized technique.
That's amazing.
And those who are fellowship trained have to have a minimum of 500 cases over their course of training just to be able
to be able to go out
achieve proficiency. And you know, I think many of us who are in dermatology are comfortable, you know, with surgical instruments. But really, the key is when you read that, are you actually confirming that the skin cancer is removed? So the reading under the microscope is really the essence of what allows us to be so confident that we got it all.
It's such an amazing process. Yeah. And again, I think it completely changes everything, doesn't it?
It does.
As far as treatment of skin cancers can go.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think the question's also posed, why isn't everything treated with Mohs? And really, it's not necessary to have Mohs used to be treat everything. But even especially, you know, if you go through those other attempts that we mentioned and you don't get it, we still have a high 90% cure rate for those that do recur. So it's an excellent technique, and it's the gold standard for skin cancer.
That's amazing. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. We'll have more with Dr. Jeffrey Lim, dermatologist with Optum, next on The Extra on KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra on KRDO News Radio. From Optum, dermatologist Dr. Jeffrey Lim joins us today. We're talking about the Mohs micrographic surgery. Getting the hiccups. Sorry, doc. Trying not to get the hiccups. So how do most folks, you do practice, there we go, general dermatology.
Yes.
But a lot of your patients are now referred, aren't they? Because, again, Mohs is not something, again, there's only, what, 1,500 plus, just over 1,500 dermatologists that are trained in the Mohs micrographic surgery.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, my practice has been primarily focused on the Mohs surgery, the definitive treatment of skin cancer, and the majority of my patients are referrals either mostly from dermatologists or from, you know, other fields like primary care, even obstetrics sometimes, and the whole gamut. But I do see specifically higher risk patients as well as general dermatology patients that are interested in skin cancer screening. So I do less of the rashes and, you know, the you know, that sort of thing in general dermatology. And if people have a specific spot of concern that they're worried about skin cancer, they're more than welcome to see me.
What I was getting to. Like, can they call and go,
yes,
I want to schedule an appointment with Dr. Lim?
Absolutely. And you know, our number is 719-228-0400. And, you know, they can also look on our website. And we have not only myself, but a great team of dermatologists and physicians assistants that are also able to get them in. You know, we can do within the week even. So it's easy to get an appointment with us.
That's amazing. Okay, give the number again so folks know.
Yeah, that's 719-228-0400.
And then the website is cosprings.optum.com?
That's correct. That's where they can find us.
Okay. And they can schedule from there as well?
Yes. They can get all the information that they need to schedule.
Okay. Yeah. Because sometimes, especially when you're so specialized like you are, doctor, sometimes it's like, well, you need a referral. You know, that does happen when you're a specialty like that.
Right. Absolutely.
But they can make an appointment.
They absolutely can.
That's fantastic. Well, awesome. Well, and since being your new to Colorado, how are you loving it?
Oh my gosh. It's like I said, you know, it's a change coming to a state that has so much sunshine.
Yes.
Certainly feel needed in an area where there is so much skin cancer, but all of my family roots are back in the East Coast in Pennsylvania, where my father is a dermatologist and my sister works with him as a nurse practitioner. So for a long time it was a family affair.
So dermatology is,
it's in the blood.
That's amazing.
And, you know, I've been a victim of it. I've had atypical moles removed, and I understand sort of the apprehension that goes with waiting for those results.
Yeah.
So that's part of what drives my passion.
So why don't you give some top tips for folks for this time of year in Colorado, if they're heading out, especially like we were talking about at the beginning. You're skiing. It might be cloudy. You may be snowboarding, but the sun is as reflective off the snow or whatever as can be. So,
well, there's many tips.
There's
many tips that I'd be happy to relay. But in the interest of time, I do want to focus on heading into the winter, especially with ski season. Not many people realize that the sun intensifies when you have reflection from the ground. So, for instance, when the sun is at its peak,
right,
or if it's at least above a 45-degree angle from the horizon, there's really only 5% ultraviolet radiation reflection from the ground. As soon as that sun dips, dawn, dusk, you know, beneath that angle of 45 to 40 degrees, you can actually get up to 75% to 100% reflection off of ice and snow.
Wow.
So it's important not only to wear hats, but to really cover from the upside down as well. And so what that means for your skiers, for your snowboarders, is to really wear 100% and 360-degree protection. Obviously, you aren't going to want to stay warm, so your skin is going to be covered. But eyes, even lips,
so like the
face,
the balm, the everything.
Right, absolutely. And when you're looking for a sunscreen, I like to boil it down to three simple things. You know, number one is that you want UVA and UVB protection. Those are the two types of ultraviolet radiation that really cause problems. Mm-hmm. Number two, you can look for things called physical or chemical blockers. And I think to keep it simple, I like to recommend the physical blockers that contain an active ingredient of titanium dioxide or zinc oxide. So all you have to do, you can pick anything on the counter and the shelves. All you have to do is look at the active ingredient. If it says zinc or if it says titanium, it's good and it's FDA regulated.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And the third thing is really behavior. So most of us say, okay, yeah, I put my sunscreen on today, but they fail to realize that it's important to reapply every 2 hours.
Yeah. And, which most people don't
and
do.
Most people don't
Correct.
Do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, most of us are on the slopes for longer than 2 hours. I think if you're at a break getting some hot chocolate or just chatting it up with your friends by the fireside, just reach for that sunscreen and just remember to reapply, and you'll probably not have to see me.
There you go. But is there, like, and I know we kind of touched on this with the UVA, UVB protection, but, you know, they SPF 5000. Okay, I'm exaggerating clearly, doctor. But is there a recommended, like, level of SPF that you need to? Because now they're out with, what, 90? I don't know.
Yeah, no,
I
mean, there are a lot of numbers out there. And, you know, from the American Academy of Dermatology, so SPF, they recommend at least 30.
At least 30.
And it's more important to reapply than it is to use the higher number. And to understand that in more depth, SPF is simply a ratio. When they test it in the FDA, it's the ratio of time it takes to burn using sunscreen over the time it takes to burn without sunscreen.
Right.
So you're 15 or 30 times, I should say, because that's the minimum you should use, SPF 30. You're 30 times as protected as if you weren't to use sunscreen. And so reapplication of at least an SPF 30 is of utmost importance compared to use of an SPF 75 or 80 once a day.
So look at, again, the number does, the higher number does not really matter.
Doesn't
it's the reapplication.
It's important, but they've done studies to look at our behavior, and people feel more protected when they use the higher number, therefore they don't use it as often.
Interesting. Yeah, you're right. The psychology behind that is, well, I'm using SPF 5000. Right. I'm fine. No.
Right.
And again, you can find all this information on your website and all the tips, and give that information again.
Yes. That information is Colorado Springs, optum.com. And then we also have our office number to make an appointment, which is the 719-228-0400.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Dr. Jeffrey Lim, dermatologist with Optum. And I appreciate you coming in today. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, Renee. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Thank you so much. And coming up tomorrow on The Extra, it's the Business Edition on KRDO News Radio.